The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 27, 1992 in Muscat. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, first chapter, verse 58 through 60.
For a conditioned soul to directly meet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one becomes a sincere devotee and seriously engages in devotional service, Lord Krishna sends an instructing spiritual master to show him favor and invoke his dormant propensity for serving the Supreme. The preceptor appears before the external senses of the fortunate conditioned soul. At the same time, the devotee is guided from within by the Chaitya Guru Krishna, who is seated as the spiritual master within the heart of a living entity. But the first part of this verse is that one cannot visibly experience the presence of the Super Soul. Sometimes people say, show me God. If I can't see God, I won't believe. There's so many things that we cannot see with our eyes. We cannot see radio waves. We can hear them. We cannot see atoms or molecules. Scientists tell us that they're there. Even with the naked eye, there's many stars or planets in the sky which cannot be seen. We have to use some telescope to see them. But they're there. So, with these material eyes, there are many things we can't see. And Krishna is not visible. The Super Soul is not visible with ordinary eyes. One has to see the Lord with a divine vision. But the Super Soul is giving us guidance from within. In the beginning, we also need guidance from without. So He sends us a spiritual master to instruct us. The instructing spiritual master guides us how we can advance in our Krishna consciousness. So for the devotee, they see that Krishna has come to instruct us in the form of the spiritual master. Instead of the spiritual master is actually an incarnation of God or something. He's also a living entity. But Krishna, through the via media of this pure devotee, is giving blessings to the devotee, to the fallen soul. So therefore the devotees offer respect to the Guru like they would offer respect to Krishna. As a sarup, or a non-different representation of Krishna for the purpose of giving the devotees mercy. There's a quote here from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tato du sangaro sridhya satsu sajeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangamuktivi. Translation. One should therefore avoid bad company and associate only with devotees, for their realized instructions, such saints, can cut the knot connecting them with activities unfavorable to devotional service. Purport. This verse, which appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 26th verse and 26th chapter, was spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava, in the text known as the Uddhava Gita. The discussion relates to the story of Pururava and the heavenly courtesan Urvasi. When Urvasi left Pururava, he was deeply affected by the separation and had to learn to overcome his grief. It is indicated that to learn the transcendental science, it is imperative that one avoid the company of undesirable persons and always seek the company of saints and sages who are able to impart lessons of transcendental knowledge. The potent words of such realized souls penetrate the heart, thereby eradicating all misgivings accumulated by years of undesirable association. For a neophyte devotee, there are two kinds of persons whose association is undesirable. One are gross materialists who constantly engage in sense gratification. And two, unbelievers who do not serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but serve their senses and their mental whims in terms of their speculative habits. Intelligent persons seeking transcendental realization should very scrupulously avoid their company. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation, purport of text 59. So here, some other principles are given. Giving up bad association. Du sangam utsrijja. This is very important to advance in spiritual life. And satsu sajeta. To associate with the devotees. So one has to give up bad association to replace that with good association. It's very important. The bad association, which has been explained here, can mislead one off of the path of progressive spiritual development, can take one back into a material conditioned life. It's very dangerous to have a bad association. So here, there's so many devotees. They're associating together. So this is recommended. Of course, for work, we have to associate with so many people. That doesn't really mean it's not a very deep association. Especially here, associate means that voluntarily one has to associate with. Getting association, opening one's heart, opening one's mind, getting into some intimate talk. This is a more serious kind of association. So in that informal way, if we have to associate with non-devotees, and that's it to say, they'll try to engage us in so many activities which are against our principles. That is their nature. That's what they're habituated to do. So, therefore it's recommended in the Veda, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to give up the bad company associated with devotees. Du sangha usri ja, sat sangha or satsu sajeta bhutima. Intelligent person will avoid bad association and take good association. Nobody is so strong that there can be an association and it will not have any effect. Prahlad Maharaj said association is like a mirror's image. We tend to take on the qualities of the people that we are intimately associating with. So if we associate with more spiritually advanced people, naturally we'll also take on those qualities of spiritual advancement. If we associate with materialistic people or mental speculators, and one takes on that event, that consciousness. Similarly, we're trying to invite people to have a good association. When they associate with the devotees and they start to see things in a proper perspective. This is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. And if we have the association of advanced devotees, those who are very dedicated to Krishna consciousness, they're considered saints. Their instructions can cut the knot of connecting one with activities unfavorable to devotional service. In various places, the advices are given. The next verse, a very famous verse, Satam prasangana mama virya sangvido Bhavanti hitkarna rasayana tata tajoshanada sapavarga vartmani sradharasiya bhaktiranukramishyati. Translation. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in the society of devotees, and is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens to him, and gradually he attains a taste and knowledge that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. Reported by Srila Prabhupada. This verse appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25, where Kapila Dev replies to the questions of his mother, Devahuti, about the process of devotional service. As one advances in devotional service, the process becomes progressively clearer and more encouraging. Unless one gets the spiritual encouragement by following the instructions of the spiritual master, it is not possible to make advancement. Therefore, one's development of a taste for executing these instructions is the test of one's devotional service. Initially, one must develop confidence by hearing the science of devotion from a qualified spiritual master. Then he associates with the devotees and tries to adopt the means instructed by the spiritual master in his own service. Strong attachment for the transcendental service of the Lord develops as he continues listening to the messages of Godhead. And if he steadfastly proceeds in this way, he is certainly elevated to spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus in the translation purport to text 60 of Adilila chapter 1, Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a very important point. But the spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in the society of devotees. It is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. One day we were having the inauguration of our temple in Guwahati, Assam. And the chief guest was the governor of Assam, Mr. Mishra. I believe he's still the governor. So there was a very big attendance. There was thousands of devotees, at least hundreds, maybe a thousand or two, life members and guests. So the governor, he started to speak that actually, I'm feeling inspired to discuss about spiritual matters in this association. If I was discussing about these matters in a normal political rally that I usually had to go to, I won't feel encouraged, neither will the people stay and listen. They'll all go off. But here, I'm feeling enlivened, go on speaking. So he must have spoken for about 1 hour or 45 minutes. How he had gone to the Himalayas, how he met a guru, how he got mantra, how mantra has delivered him, so on, recommending Krishna consciousness. So, you know, he went on and he got really inspired. Because you people, you're all actually, I can see you're all spiritual people. The life members, everyone, they're very eager to hear. So, this message of Godhead or spiritual matters, they can only be discussed in appropriate association. And that association, they're very pleasingly discussed. It's very difficult to discuss these matters anywhere and anywhere. And if you discuss, and even they may be very nice topics, the people there become impatient because their mind is on some other wavelength. So, having these regular Friday gatherings and other gatherings, other days of the week with devotees, discussing Krishna Katha, hearing different realizations, and this type of cultivation of our spiritual consciousness is very important. And there's very effective. To know what actually is there, one has to get that understanding from the devotee, get into that mood, and one can personally experience also. The people outside of that sphere, of that circle, they're not be able to understand what actually is going on. They may be speculating something, based on their own limited mundane experience. They have no experience about transcendental bliss, about transcendental ecstasy, about spiritual happiness. So their every opinion is based on their mundane experience, which is not able to enter into this sphere. If you want to know, you know, anything in this world, obviously you have to go to the people who are engaged in that activity. You want to know even some frivolous sport like golf or something, you have to learn from the people that play golf. There's no use learning how to play golf from someone who plays ping pong or basketball. If you want to learn spiritual life, you want to learn business, you go to people who are expert in the field of business. You want to learn spiritual life, you go then to the people who are spiritually advanced. Sometimes people, they think that they can cheat someone who is spiritually advanced. Just like the man who tried to cheat the blacksmith with low quality steel. Remember that example? Once there was a man, he was a very miserly, business-type-minded man. But he was, everything he saw was with a profit motive. All his personal dealings, even with his own relatives, was all based on money. If he could get a good price for his mother, then, or cheat his mother, he may also do that. There's no qualms, no reservation. Everything was simply how to get a quick buck, as they say. So somehow in some of his deals, he got a big quantity of coconut. But he had no proper knife to cut the coconut. His knife, his chopper had become very dull. So he took it to one blacksmith and he said, I need a good chopper. He looked, he said, this one's finished. You have to make a new one. So he said, all right, you make me a good one. And I've got some spring steel, some high quality carbon steel in my house. I'll bring that, send that to you. I have a good quantity. You make me one knife, you keep the rest of the steel. That'll be your profit for making it. So he said, all right, it's a good deal. You send your steel. Then the man goes back home, but he's having no good steel. He just has ordinary mild iron, mild steel for construction or something, just ordinary. So he sends that with his son. He said, you give this to him, tell him to make a good knife. So the man sees, what is this? This is not good steel, this is ordinary soft steel. This won't keep the sharpness. So he made one knife, one chopper, but it was a really worse quality. When he gave it to the son, he said, take this to your father. My father said, it's not going to cut a coconut. It hardly cut bread. So he came back, you know, and he was really angry. What is this useless knife you gave me? Why didn't you give me a good knife? I send you the steel, everything. She said, I gave you the correct knife. What do you mean correct knife? This knife is lousy. This is no good. Yes, I gave you the correct knife of someone who tried to cheat a blacksmith by giving him third-rate steel, calling it first class. For that type of person, this is the correct knife. How can you cheat a blacksmith with steel? That's his business. He's hammering it every day. He knows what's good, what's bad. That's his field. Sometimes people think that, well, I can just put on some bluff and I can impress some devotee or guru. But they can tell if somebody is sincere or if they are actually bluffing or not. It's like the pastime with Haridas Thakur and the astrologer. You know that pastime? One time there was a snake charmer who was a devotee of Krishna, and he was playing on his flute. And he was singing a song to Lord Krishna. How Krishna had taken over, had defeated the Kaliya serpent. This is especially recommended for the Sarpuriyas, for the snake charmers, because remembering Krishna and Kaliya protects you from snake bite. So he's singing this bhajan to Krishna. While he's doing that, it so happened that Haridas Thakur was coming along. Haridas Thakur is a great devotee, always chanting the holy names of Krishna, even though he was not born in a Hindu family. He was always the greatest devotee of Krishna. So, when he heard this devotee singing the glories of Krishna, Kaliya, he became absorbed, and he became very ecstatic. He became filled with love for Krishna. So he started to dance in ecstasy. Hari bol, Hari bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, by chanting and dancing in ecstasy, all the local people, they started seeing this devotee. And they became also filled with devotion, and they started to offer their obeisances to Haridas Thakur spontaneously. What was happening was, next to the snake charmer, there was one astrologer. With his peak, with what they have, the parrot and the, you know, the hand charge and everything, he's all set up there. He's a brahmana by birth. So he said, what's going on here? This person is not even born in a Hindu family, and he's chanting, and everyone is offering him so much respect, bowing down to him, offering him the respect. But nobody is offering me respect. And I am born in a Brahmin family, why they shouldn't offer me respect? Whatever he's doing, I can do the same thing. So let me do this, and then people will offer me respect. So he jumped up, and he tried to imitate Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is chanting, Hari bol, and dancing. So this astrologer, Brahmin, he tried to imitate, Hari bol, Hari bol. Jumping, and Haridas Thakur is, you know, dancing in great ecstasy. But this one, he's putting on a big show, you know. So the snake charmer, he was a pretty mature devotee. He could actually pick out, this guy is a complete bogus. Haridas Thakur is actually in ecstasy. Few common people, they couldn't figure it out, because they didn't know anything much about this thing. They just respect us, so they also bow down. So Haridas Thakur was going off. He wasn't aware what's going on. He was in complete samadhi. Then, that snake charmer, he fell on the ground and started shaking. Krishna, Krishna. Putting on a whole show that he was in trance. And though that snake charmer got up, people are looking at this. Oh, what great devotion he's got. He said, this person is a great aparadhi, he's a great offender. Haridas Thakur is a true devotee. And he's imitating him. It's very offensive. He's not feel anything in his heart. He just wants you to offer him respect. And Haridas Thakur is actually only thinking about Krishna. He doesn't even know that you people are offering him respect or not. He could care less. He is a true devotee, worthy of respect. This person is cheating you. So how do you know he's cheating? You watch. If he's in ecstasy or not, you'll see in 1 second. Pow! He gave him a good kick in the tail. As soon as he gave kick, all the so-called ecstasy was always, ooh! Then everybody saw that he's a bogus guy. She's cheating them. So now, what do you think you should do to this type of people trying to... He's committing great offense to the pure devotees. The people took up sticks and the Brahman had to run off. People are chasing him down the street. So, a devotee can actually tell who is really a devotee or not. So we should just go in a simple mind before a devotee. Even if we may be very fallen or we may be very unqualified, but Lord Chaitanya is Pati Pavan. He delivers the most fallen and most unqualified. If we have a sincere desire to get ourselves purified, then Krishna and Gauranga Guru, they can all help us. That's their desire. They're more anxious that we come back than we are to go back. If we take one step to Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps to us. Of course, sometimes this association is very difficult to say. Sometimes we think that it's a good association. But you find that there's someone, he's always criticizing everyone else. Most people are no good, that one no good, this one's no good, you know. So it seems like, well, he must be a very strict person, he must be very good. Because he's saying everyone else is no good, he must be very good. He's saying, yes, everyone is bad. So that's one technique of getting people. You alienate from everyone else and you get people to be with you. But it's like the story of the man who was yelling, thief, thief. You know that example? It's a very ancient story. That in one village, there was always theft going on. By and by, every few days, there was some dacoities, and people's houses were being robbed by some thief. So when the house is being robbed, and all the people, naturally, they start shouting out, "Chur, chur, thief, thief, thief." What do they say in Tamil for thief?
Tirudan.
Taking the wealth, Tirudan. Coincidence. Tirudan, Tirudan. So they're all shouting, thief, thief. And you know, people actually run out of their house and they're shouting also, thief, thief. And so there's like this a big hue and cry. Everyone shouting thief. But never caught the thief. So an old man in the village who's very wise. He told, you make a study, who's at the different thefts. So each one they made a list A, B, C, D. But always the one person is at every theft, even if his house is other side. He's always there shouting thief with everybody else. He said, I doubt this man. Why he's always at the theft? He may be the thief. She told the village chowkidar, you stake out his house, you watch it, see what he does at night. You just hide and just watch his house to see if there's any unusual. What he does next time there's a theft. So you see that after about 1 o'clock in the morning, comes out of his house with one bamboo ladder. And he goes out. So that chowkidar is falling, he carries the bamboo ladder and goes over to somebody else's house, other part of the village, puts it by the side of the wall, climbs over the wall, and goes in the house. Within a few minutes, he sees the guy running out with a box of some valuables. And people in the house, they start crying out, you know, Tirudana, Tirudana, Tirudana. Thief, 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 chore. So they start shouting out, thief, thief, and then that thief, and he ran into the forest, into the jungle. But within about a few minutes, he came back, and by that time people are gathering, he's also yelling, thief, thief, where's the thief, thief? And, you know, the chowkidar said, wow, this is what, you know, unique technique. And then they saw him standing there in the shadow, you know, and then they saw, oh, that thief, he said, oh, he must be the thief. So everybody grabs him, you know, and they said, what are you doing here, you know?
start beating on him, you know, you must be a thief. And the guy, thief, thief, you know. So the real thief is calling the chokidar, nothing to do with it. He's calling him the thief. So everybody started beating the chokidar, roughing him up. Tell us what you're doing. Then the old wise man of the village, he came, so wait a minute. Don't beat him. He's not a thief. You come here, tell me what happened. So he heard everything. He said, all right, listen. Let's go to the forest and find the jewels, find the goods. And then that thief, he said, no, don't go there. It's very bad. You'll get some, maybe snakes, tigers. Now let's go in the morning, we can go. Not now. Now is it dangerous in the night, we shouldn't go. Maybe mosquitoes, anything, you know, something else, don't go. Otherwise, no, let's go now and find it. We'll see if there's any valuables are there. So they went in where the chokidar saw, run into the forest, and there they found that all the treasure had been kept. So then he told the whole story. This person came from his house, this is his bamboo ladder, chokidar saw, bring the treasure here. This guy is a pocket thief. He's regularly doing this. So as soon as that he was exposed, the thief started running. And all the group of men started running after him. Thief, thief, thief! So the actual thief was running in front. He's also pointing in front. Thief, thief, thief! Catch the thief! So the ordinary people, they get confused. They look at him. Where's the thief? You know, the thief himself is saying, thief, thief. They thought maybe he's there, you know, looking ahead. You know, nobody. So this was his regular technique. He's always calling the other people thief. So there are people like that. They are doing actually wrong things. But to divert their attention from them, they're saying, oh, look at the others, they're all thieves. So then the people don't look their side, they're looking at you. Seems like they're very righteous people because they're pointing out the defects of others. You actually go into it, the number one culprit is that very person. That's why you have to be careful to take association from people who are fault finders. Many times you may find that the people always finding fault with everyone else, they are covering up their own fault. So one of the qualities of a devotee is niyamatsaranam, not envious. They respect other people. They're not envious. They're not overly, unnecessarily critical. In this world, there will always be some defect. Nobody can be 100% perfect. So unless something is a really major obstacle, major problem, we don't bother to pick out all the defects. That simply disturbs the mind. Some superficial material characteristic doesn't affect the devotion of some devotee. There may be always personality traits or some differences of complexion or so on. So these superficial things are not important when it comes to spiritual life. But the fault finders, they pick out so many little things. And this way it bewilders the mind. So we need to avoid a bad association. Associate with the good devotees. Hear the proper instructions and we can advance very nicely. So to do this, Lord Chaitanya never said that you have to leave the household life. So whether you're a householder, whether you're unmarried, whatever you may be, you just follow these principles. They're the same for everyone. Chanting Hare Krishna, having good association, hearing the proper instructions, trying to apply these in one's life. And this way what happens is that gradually he attains a taste in knowledge that in due course develops into attraction devotion. The spiritual life has to be experienced. When we experience it, then of course, it's very difficult for anyone to be bewildered. So this experience we get by the proper association with devotees, by hearing the message from the devotees. If you hear the so-called devotional messages or Hari Katha from a non-devotee, this has a reverse effect. There's a verse in the Vedas, Avaishnava Mukodgirnam Putam Harikatam Itam Shravanam Naiva Kortavyam Sarpuchistanatapaya. But to listen to Harikatha, to the glories of Hari from the non-devotee, non-Vaishnava, is not recommended. It's forbidden. Avaishnava Mukodgirnam Putam Harikatam Itam Shravanam Naiva Kortavyam. Why? Because sarpuchistanatapaya, just like when a snake touches the milk, the whole milk becomes poison. Even one drop of poison in the milk will ruin the whole milk. Doesn't mean you have to have the whole glass of venom. If you have one drop, it's enough. So for Krishna consciousness, we need to hear from the Krishna devotees. Someone may be very learned pandit, but if he's not devotee, they'll twist the things. And even though someone may be hearing Gita, may be hearing Bhagavatam, in the end they don't become devotees because they're hearing from non-devotees. They always get some other idea. They think I should, I'm God or I do something else. And they don't get that actual experience, which is predicted here. They don't develop that spontaneous attraction devotion. So what happens, they remain more and more attracted to the material things. Material things are like little children. You give them some toy to play with so they don't create any nuisance. But eventually you want them to mature and to develop attraction for doing something productive in life, not just to play all life with the toys. Human beings were meant to develop and to fully understand, engage in our eternal activities with Krishna. But until that attraction is developed, then Durga is giving us, Maya Devi is giving us so many toys to play with. So we need to graduate from that preschool nursery level and come out to the transcendental platform. But we see what is the value of this material world. And we see what is the actual spiritual experience, what is the value of eternal life. We have to work, we have to do activities to have a healthy body, to survive. But as far as our actual goal in life, we should be very focused and we want to go back to Godhead, which is real, which is eternal. This playing with the new toys that come up is of no eternal benefit. Thank you very much for taking to this process, which is recommended by all the Shastra. May all be fully successful in this pursuing this path of Krishna consciousness. By the blessings of Gaur Nithai, Srila Prabhupada. Did I go Premanandi?
There was one person who was asking a question that, you are telling Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But I read somewhere that it is Mata, Pita, Guru, Deva. That means first mother, then father, then Guru and then the God. Then I told him that it is not in the scriptures. Scriptures, whatever it says, Krishna is Supreme Personality. And through the deceptive association, Guru comes. Then only father-mother. Father-mother are only temporary relation just because we have got this body. But our real father is Krishna. So,
well, you see, everything has its own interpretation. Who's the first person you meet in life? In this birth?
Mother.
And then next person?
Father.
Okay, then you can't avoid that. You're going to meet your mother first. Because you're coming only from the mother, and you're going to meet the mother will introduce you to the father.
No, what you were telling the rest
of them. They are giving their interpretation. We have our interpretation. First, your mother and father are your natural guru, but they lead you to the real guru, and by the mercy of guru, you get to Krishna.
So if you give devotion and service to mother.
But they are saying that you just give all the devotion, mother and father.
That's what.
Then how does the guru and deva come?
So what is it not required? If you serve your father, mother, it's enough. That God will.
But then they're not following. There's four factors there. They're only taking the first two. We are not saying neglect your mother and father. Follow the mother and father, but that oneness, and also, we are not telling people not to serve their parents. In fact, it's very much on in the Vaishnava tradition, always the parents are very much, all the elders are respected very much, but not to the exclusion of Guru or Krishna. And if the parents are completely against, then even a devotee will will take more weight, just like Dhruva Maharaj. He was going back to the spiritual world. At that time, the Vishnu Dutas came to take him in a spiritual Vimana. So then he was remembering, what about my mother? If it wasn't for my mother, Suniti, then how is it that I would be here in this day? I won't be going back to the spiritual world without blessing of my mother. She was the one who told me to look for God. So she should, I won't leave without her. See what, and then he pointed out and saw already mother was going ahead. She's already in a previous Bhima. He said, she's your Shiksha Guru. So she's already gone ahead. So then he said, alright, then he goes. Even when Prahlad was tortured by his father, and when Narasimha asked what blessing you want, first thing he did is prayed that please forgive my father. So people get the wrong idea. Devotees are never against the prayer. But sometime what happens, say the father told Prahlad, you give up worshipping Krishna. He said, I can't do that. Because that person is not acting in that moment as a proper parent. That's the point where the devotee will divert. He won't blindly follow and go against Krishna, even if the parent says. Apart from that, they're always a well-wisher of the parent. Actually, the Prahlad, he only said good things to his father, but father was a demon, he couldn't accept. Father said, I am the almighty power, why do you don't worship me? Why do you worship the Vishnu? He says, where do you get the power to not worship me? He says, I get the power from where you get your power, you're not independent, you're getting your power from Vishnu also. I'm getting whatever power I have, whatever power anybody has, it all comes from Vishnu, it all comes from God. And then he became angry, what is this, you're speaking such insolent things against me. It's a unique case. He was on the supreme ego trip. In spite of that, even though he tried to kill Prahlad in so many ways, Prahlad begged him, please forgive him whatever offense he made. So the devotees are the perfect children, the perfect friend, everything's perfect. But only at that very rare extreme circumstance you find that there's a parting of ways. Otherwise, it's not that we're against the parent. So if our mother and father are the natural gurus, they should guide one to reach the real, the Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. And they're very happy when they see their son is reaching to Krishna. If the son goes to Krishna, the parents automatically go. I have one disciple, he said, actually, I may never make it back to Godhead. You please give initiation to my son and if he can go back, then I know that I got my ticket booked.
Guru Maharaj, one more question related to this. Now, most of the parents, they are not fortunate enough to get in touch with the devotees, pure devotees and the disciples association. So they don't know the real importance of worshipping only Krishna. They have other demigod worship, especially in most of the families. So, is it worthwhile when we go back to India, we tell them Krishna is the Supreme Presence, so you can devote the whole time in Krishna rather than meditating in other demigods, because they are all worshipping Krishna. Is it the right thing to explain to them and make them understand? Or, well, they also get ego problem, maybe why Sami is still preaching me or something. So I want to take the advice whether we can do such things.
We can always preach, the question is the technique. Prahlad was a small child, he didn't have any sophistication. He wasn't thinking of preaching according to time, place or circumstance very so much. He just, his father asked the question, he just tells the truth. So all you can expect from a 5-year-old, they're very simple, very direct. When you're preaching the people, you have to see according to their
situation.
if they're very faithless or they're very inimical, then it's better to try to first than you anyway chant Hare Krishna. See, if they chant, automatically they'll become more receptive to all these things. They need also to get some spiritual experience. They're only having mundane experience, so for them it's all very theoretical. But when you chant Hare Krishna, then they'll get to some spiritual experience. Then it'll be easier for them to comprehend these things. So Lord Chaitanya, I recommend that we get everyone to chant. Get them to take some Krishna prasad. Get them to read the Bhagavad Gita, worship. So then you can try to preach, but you have to see how best to tackle each individual. Some people you can directly preach to them. You have such a relationship. Some people, if you say to some older person, they may not immediately accept, so you may use some technique. Lord Chaitanya would often use the technique of asking questions. He'd know the answer, but he would just ask the question, knowing the other person didn't know the actual answer. So by asking questions, the other people then, they couldn't give the good answer. So they get, so what's the answer? You know better. Then Lord Chaitanya tells them the answer. Since they asked for it, so then he had the scope. So many techniques he would to preach. He'd go in very humbly. In principle, like come in like a needle, go out like a plow.
Well, advantage in a place like Muscat, we are able to come every day for Mangala Arati, Sandhya Arati, meet the devotees. The message every day we are getting, and it is getting formed day by day. Whereas if you write in Bombay, my parents are in Chembur, I tell them go to Juhu and go for Mangala Arati. From Juhu to Chembur, it's a very far distance. Maybe one way.
Is there another center now in Bombay? Bandar or something?
Bayendra.
Bayendra.
Still far. Because that can be possible only when we go back and do it in the house every day. Then we can tell.
Many of our devotees, they get their parents to chant, they explain to them.
Yeah, that we should be there with them. Like when Venugopal Prabhu started here, even each place, Chembur, Dadar, one center is there, very much better.
You can have one in your house.
Naam Haram. No, the best thing is to take them to Bangalore and so they are.
Why not? We have a whole ear there.
Prabhu, Malachya, Muslims praise Allah and Christians have got this Christ. For Hindus, probably because of so many gods, supposed to be Hindu gods, but the message is not very clear. That's why the confusion is there, one of the problems which he is facing now. Why is this confusion amongst Hindus? Only for Hindus have
it. That's explained also in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. Narada Muni was impatient, what's the proper word? He was not satisfied. He was chastising indirectly his disciple yesterday. Yesterday wasn't feeling satisfied after writing all the Vedas. So Narada Muni said, because you've given so much knowledge, that now ordinary people, they're not able to actually understand what is the conclusion. They get confused. They're so vast that they get confused. So you should give one book which gives the conclusion. What is the ultimate purpose of all this? You've told it in all the Vedas. But because you told so many other things, people, they're not able to just isolate that truth from the other relative truths. So you get one book where you don't tell anything but the absolute truth, completely to the point. Then you'll be happy. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, is without compromise, just telling about absolute truth. But in the Vedas, people, they want to know, if I want to get a good husband, what should I do? So they tell, okay, you can do, we can worship to Shiva, want to get a good wife, worship Uma, so many things. So they go on giving like this, according to the questions, they're giving the answers, so it's very vast. But it doesn't give what's the ultimate prayojan, what's the ultimate purpose of life. So Srimad Bhagavatam especially give us that conclusion. But actually all the Vedas say the same thing, but it's mixed up with so many other things. You go in Shiva Purana, you go in Skanda Purana, you go in any other Purana, you also find some references to Krishna Bhakti, to Vishnu worship, and everyone. But it will be mixed up with other, and it will be from different angles and points of vision. So that's why, especially for the devotees, we mainly concentrate on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, as our main text, and other things we use as reference. Knowing that these are written from different angles of vision. So in one sense, the Vedas are so vast, but that's the downside of it. If you give someone too much information, they can misuse it, they get confused. The point is that so much information is there that is the most complete of all the spiritual or religious or texts in the world. Like for instance, nowadays in the West, I don't know how much it's a conscious over here, but there's a very big undercurrent of concern about unidentified flying objects. Like for some reason, I don't know, it's not much publicized in India. Maybe they don't fly to India. But in the West, well, maybe people just think it's the devas and they don't bother. I don't know. But in the West, this is a very big problem. That's people talk about quite a bit. They say they're getting abducted. They say that they come in the night and take them away, that they're having impregnating the women before the child is born, taking out the embryo, coming back. Some people have said that they're creating crossbreed between some resident of other planet and Earth. Maybe they got AIDS there or something and they want to, or some of their own type of disease, they want to interbreed. Like we bring from the West, the Holstein cow or the Indian cow to get. There's so many speculations. They don't know anything. So they go to the government. The government says, no, these things don't exist. People don't believe the government. What do you mean, don't exist? So many people I've seen having said, doesn't exist. So, now, if you go into the Bible, you don't find much reference about other planets. You go in the Quran, I don't know what they have. I can't say. And I don't think in this country we should make any comment anyway. So, but you go into through the Vedas, there's so much reference to other planets. In Mahabharata, there's visitation from many other planets. The Gandharvas came and they had a fight with the Pandavas. Some favorable visits are there by Devas. Some unfavorable wars are going on. And it also mentions about Star Wars. In the Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, it mentions how that one, Salva? Salva. He got from some other planet, from some asuras, he got some special plane, which was circular in shape, which could move any direction, this way, that way, disappear, come back, which is exactly the description that they give of the flying saucer. So this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So our Sadaputra Prabhu, who's Richard Thompson, PhD from Cornell University and everything, Harvard, all this. So he is giving seminars now from the Vedas on this theme, UFOs, and what the Vedas speak. So that we're getting a full house. Hundreds of all really educated people, because they don't know anything, and government won't tell anything. But there's things that people are seeing, they're getting experience, so they want to know what does it say. So the Vedas has so much information that there's other planets, there's life on other planets. 18 kinds of aircraft are mentioned in the Vedas. Some who are propelled by mechanical means, propelled by energy, by light waves, by psychic means, like there's so many details are there. So the thing is that now the scientific people in the West, they can't avoid the Vedas. Vedas are so complete. They describe so many things that when there's any question, you end up going to the Vedas. The answers are there. They're not looking at it now. See, even India, the British have programmed us. We think that this Vedas is all mythology. But they're not looking at this aside. These are historical visitations, historical things that people have seen. We're seeing the same thing now. Nobody can explain it. They're given in Sanskrit. 5,000, 10,000, 1 million years ago, the same thing was seen. We're seeing it now. What does that mean? So it must be true. So like that, a lot of people now, they're turning to the Vedas for various reasons. Regarding diet, Vedas say best diet is sattvic food. All the health experts, nutritionists, they're saying yes, fruit, vegetables, grains, all these things are very good. Control your fat intake and all that. Don't take the meat, actually not good for you. Now in the American government used to say you have to have meat as one of the necessities of life. They've changed that a few years ago. Now they say it's optional and it should be reduced. Main thing you need is fruit, vegetables, grains and milk products. Meat and that is optional. So gradually people are changing, but whatever is given in the Vedas, now people are coming to that point of view. Reincarnation, there's a lot of evidence. But in many other cultures, they don't have any much information. So the upside is that because we have so much information, we're able to provide a lot of information to people, give them the answers that they want. So now in the West, people are more scientifically inclined. They want a more to-the-point answer. You tend to go to other cultures and they just tell you it's a mystery, we don't know on almost everything. So it's not very satisfying. So they turn to science, and science doesn't also have the answer. It's a very crawling forward. It seems, you know, that we've made a lot of advancement, but if you see what's the whole universe, we know very little. Even they don't know what's in the ocean yet, fully. So many factors, we don't know what life is. So for preaching, also the Vedas are really good, that we get so much information. But the backside, as you said, that some people, they get confused. They just look at one side and one point and they think that's the all in all. So we have to, that's why we need a guru. Just the Vedas alone, without a guru, is very difficult to understand. You need a bona fide guru. Should be a Vaishnava, should come in the Parampara disciplic succession. In the Padma Purana said there's four disciplic succession. Should be in one of those succession. Otherwise, it said that you won't understand what the Vedas mean.
But this is the best succession. It's called one
which we have. Well, Krishna appeared here as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to combine all the four into one. That's also predicted in Padma Purana, that all the four will be combined. Hare Krishna.